For our text, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. The passage listed in your bulletin from Luke chapter 6 is where we are as a congregation as we're working together through the Gospel of Luke. But for our sermon this morning, we're going to be considering the same passage, but it's going to be the extended version in Matthew chapter 12. So the parallel version in Matthew chapter 12. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. And then after that, we're going to read in the back of our catechism, or the back of the Psalter Hymnal, the Catechism, Lord's Day 38. But first, let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, the first 8 verses. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That's as far as reading from Matthew. Then let's turn together in the back of our Psalter hymnals. It's found on page 52, Lord's Day 38. Question and answer 103 asks, "What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment?" And the answer is, first, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath." Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are going to be changing the order just slightly. Where normally we have been looking at the catechism in the evening, today we are going to look at the Lord's Day question and answer 103 this morning. And I hope the reason I do that is obvious. Because it's very fitting for us at the beginning of the Sabbath day, the beginning of the Lord's Day, to consider what it means to keep this day. Exactly what are we called to do on this, what we said a few minutes ago, festive day of rest? Now, when it comes to considering the Ten Commandments, men tend to make what is positive something negative. What I mean by this is when we look at the first 3 commandments, which read in the commandments, "You shall not do something." For the past few weeks, as a congregation, we have looked at the positive. So if the commandment says, "You shall not worship false gods," positively that means we are to worship the one true God. If the commandment says, "You shall not wrongly misuse the name of the Lord or use idols in worship," positively that means using God's name appropriately and worshiping God in a way, approaching him in a way in which he demands. But as we come to the fourth commandment, we tend to do the opposite, don't we? Because when you read the fourth commandment in the commandments, it starts positive. You shall do something. You shall keep this day. You shall remember this day. You shall observe this day. But as human beings, we tend to take what God says positively and make it something negative. Fourth commandment, I know what that's about. That's a list of things I can't do. Fourth commandment, that's a burden placed upon me. I can't do the things that I want because of the fourth commandment. But the fourth commandment is positive. You shall do something this day. You shall keep this day. You shall remember this day. We sang a few minutes ago, that this day is a day of joy and light, of rest and gladness. In the Catechism it says, on the festive day of rest. Do you see how positive these words are? Do you see how encouraging, how much joy and delight this day should be for us? A positive view of the fourth commandment. So today we look at this theme that the Lord of the Sabbath sets us free to enjoy, rest, and worship on the Lord's day. So start then by looking at the foundation of this command, or the basis given to us by our Lord when we look at the fourth commandment. Now, the fourth commandment is unique among the Ten Commandments in that it gives us in Scripture two different foundations, or two different bases upon keeping this day distinct. The first one in Exodus chapter 20, as you probably remember, Exodus 20 verse 11, you are to keep the Sabbath day holy because, as verse 11 says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. The first foundation given to us in Scripture for why we are to keep this day distinct, set apart, is because of creation. The basis, the foundation of the fourth commandment is found all the way back in the first chapters of Genesis. And the reason that we are to keep this day distinct and set apart, God tells us as verse 11 continues, is twofold. So the foundation is creation, and the reason that we are to keep it is because, first, that Jesus gives to us in these words, that God the Father rested on this day. And the second is that the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So when you read from Exodus chapter 20, you find that the Lord sets before us the fourth commandment and gives us these twin pillars. First of all, look at the example of the Father. I rested on the seventh day. And then the Father says, I sanctified, I set aside this day as a holy day. Now, God did not need to rest on the seventh day. It's not that God was tired or exhausted after this six-day creation week. But rather, he chose to rest this day so that he could enjoy the works of his hand. He stopped to enjoy the things that he had made, and he stopped to set an example for us as human beings to follow. He sets an example for us so that we might know that this day is a good day. A day to rest, a day to remember, a day to celebrate, to be reminded of all that God has done for us and our creation. In other words, when we look at the creation account and as it is applied to us in Exodus chapter 20, we learn not only in creation that when God looks at Adam alone, God says it was not good for man to be alone, thus he created woman. It was also not good for man to work every single day endlessly like a dog. It was not good to strive and labor continuously. So God gives us the Sabbath, so that we might rest, to cease from our labors and to enjoy the benefits of the great things he has done, to lay down beside quiet waters, to rest and be restored in our souls. But as I said a few minutes ago, the fourth commandment is unique because in Scripture we are given two foundations for keeping this day. The first foundation is found in Exodus, the second in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. As we read a few minutes ago from Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, we are to rest, keep the Sabbath day holy, to remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, you observed the Sabbath day. So not only do we have the creation as a reason that we keep this day distinct, we have redemption, the framework of deliverance that sets apart this commandment as distinct. So as God's people, we not only look back to creation and remember everything that God has made for us, we also look at our deliverance. You see, congregation of Christ, the Israelites brought up out of bondage, out of Exodus, never had a Sabbath. In bondage, in slavery, in Egypt, they worked all day, every day. They were in slavery. And then God brought them up with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and he said, "Now you are mine. You've passed through the blood. You've passed through the water. I have sanctified you as a people. I brought you close to myself, bringing you up out of bondage. Therefore, rest. Rest and remember the place from which you came. Remember the bondage of Egypt. Remember the freedom of deliverance." They were set free in order to rest, because in bondage there is no rest. But for us as Christians, we not only look back to the example in Egypt, but we know we are set free from bondage to sin, death, and hell, slavery not to Pharaoh, but to Satan. So the reason we rest on the seventh day is because of our redemption, and we remember the deliverance that is ours through Jesus Christ. Rest is a gift. And through Christ, we enjoy it. Rest is good, and it's for our good. The problem is, in our world, that men tend to see every day as their own day, but a Christian sees the Lord's day as a time to pause, to remember our creation, to remember our redemption. Instead of being enslaved to our work or our hobbies, we remember for whom we were made and for whom we were redeemed. And this day is set apart by God for remembering, for celebrating, and rejoicing. So the Israelites were created and redeemed people. And you would expect people who were created by God, who know their Creator God, and redeemed by God, who knows Him as the Yahweh, the Lord, the covenantal God, the God who is and who was and who is to come, the great I Am, that they would be the most thankful and obedient people. When you have these twin pillars established in your life of why this day is set apart, special, a day of worship and joy and gladness, you would think that they would be the most obedient and thankful people. But our text that we read from Exodus chapter 16 proves how quickly men default back to positions of slavery. In Exodus chapter 16, that's what we read a few minutes ago, that there were the Israelites who were told by God on the sixth day that you were to go out and gather twice as much manna so that you wouldn't have to go out on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day. But in chapter 16 in Exodus, instead of resting on the seventh day, some of the Israelites went out, they forgot to rest. They forgot the gift that was theirs. They forgot the freedom that was theirs. So they went out and tried to find some manna on the seventh day. So the Lord says in verse 28 of Exodus 16, "How long will you refuse my commands? How long will you rebel against a gift? How long will you say, 'No, thank you, God, I'm going to do things my own way. I liked it better in Egypt where I had to work every single day. I liked it better in slavery to sin.'" You see, celebrating this day, the seventh day, the Sabbath day as a holy day takes faith. It took faith to rest on the promises of God. You see, the Israelites knew what happened when they collected twice as much. Remember what happens? If they would gather too much food on a day and then keep it overnight, what happened in the morning? That manna would breed maggots. It would stink. It would smell. It was putrid. It was offensive. So the Israelites learned, I need to go out every day in order to Show my dependence, depending on the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day, go out, trust the Lord to provide. I have nothing at night. I go out again in the morning. I trust the Lord to provide. That cycle of dependence on the Lord. It took faith. It took trust. But on the sixth day, God said, gather twice as much, and it's not going to stink. It's not going to go bad. Trust me. Try my word. Try my promises. See if I'm faithful. Some of them didn't. They didn't trust the Lord. They didn't believe his promises. So they went out and they wanted to gather again on the seventh day. You see, congregation of Christ, it takes a trust. It takes a dependence. It takes a reliance on the promises of God to rest. It takes faith to rest on the seventh day. Let me give you an example. There is a Christian farmer who, going to church on Sunday, sees his neighbor, an unbeliever, gathering the harvest on the Lord's day. The sun is shining. Tomorrow calls for rain. It takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to believe and rely on the Lord to provide. Or there is a Christian who wants to move up the corporate ladder, who wants to get this the raise and the promotion. His employer asks, are you willing to work on Sunday? The Christian says, no, he's passed over for the raise because of his faith in the promises of God. It takes faith to believe and obey. The Christian employer says, or the Christian employee says, I trust my God will provide, even if that means I don't move up the corporate ladder. So we trust in God, we trust in his promises, and we rest, knowing that rest is for our good. And those who ignore God's commands do so to their own peril. So the command given to us, and the example in Exodus 16 says that we are to work 6 days, and we work 6 days so that we can rest one. We prepare ourselves on the previous days so that when the Sabbath day comes or the day of rest comes, we are prepared. And we can rest, trusting that God will provide. But we must also guard our hearts against legalism, a Pharisaic view of this day as well. Our second reading from Matthew chapter 12 proves that this day is to be seen as a gift and not a burden. In Matthew chapter 12, that's the passage where Jesus is out with his disciples. Jesus picks a little wheat or barley, rubs it in his hand, and pops it in his mouth, and his disciples are doing the same. And the Pharisees say, you are breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus corrects their false view by saying at Matthew 12, verse 6, that one greater than the temple has come. And since Jesus is greater than the temple, he's greater than the Old Testament shadows and types, he has the authority to change our focus. And then he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Being the Lord of the Sabbath means that he is the creator and redeemer of the Sabbath, and has the freedom to do what he wills. He has the right to set aside the laws of men, bringing to us a proper understanding of what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. And then he directs them in Matthew 12, verse 7, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Faithfulness, steadfastness, kindness. We were created and redeemed not to be robots, but to show mercy. In saying these words, Jesus exposes our own Pharisaic, legalistic view of the Lord's Day. We are free to do what must be done. The Pharisees said you couldn't start a fire, you couldn't boil water, that was sinning on this day. The Pharisees had a specific law for how far you could walk, what kind of hats you could wear, how many threads you could sew together in order to avoid breaking the fourth commandment. But the Lord says, I desire mercy. That is to be the governing principle that guides us in our actions on this day. I desire mercy. Understanding of what it is we are called to do on the Lord's Day. So Jesus Christ comes and identifies himself as the Lord of the Sabbath and then reorients us to understand that this law does not bind us to a rule-filled, burden, unjoyful, Pharisaic view of this commandment. Jesus Christ comes to say to us, the rest that I bring should be a rest of joy and gladness, not a rest of compulsion and bound in bondage. In saying that I am the Lord of the Sabbath and I desire mercy, Christ is saying to us, when you look at the Lord's Day, don't look at it as a list of things you can't do but would rather be doing. Don't sit on Sunday morning saying, well, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, refusing to make lists. The human regulations that focus the day as a yoke, as a burden. Rather, as Christians, we say, I have been set free to show mercy. I have been set free to show that I have been delivered from bondage in my rest, in my worship. This goes to our hearts, congregation of Christ. And let me say a word to our young people. When you look at the Sabbath day, don't approach it with a negative view. Don't think in your mind, well, I can't do this today, I can't do this today, I can't do this today. That is looking at the seventh day, looking at the Sabbath, looking at the fourth commandment as a burden, as a yoke, as a handcuff, stopping us from doing what we want to do. Where Christ says, I desire mercy, he is wanting us to approach this day that recognizes the freedom that is ours, the freedom to worship, the freedom to be filled with a joy and a gladness, looking at this day as a gift, not something that binds us. Indeed, Christ came to fulfill the Old Testament Sabbath. Because Christ, after he was crucified, rested in the grave on the seventh day. His resting in the grave fulfilled the ceremonial aspect of the seventh day, thus freeing us as Christians and giving us a different direction. So that now we keep the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, as a beginning of something greater. As a foretaste of something better. So when we look at the Lord's Day, when you look at this commandment, don't approach it in a negative, law-filled, burden, Pharisaic, legalistic, however you want to say it. But look at it as a privilege. That I've been created and redeemed to do something, set free to do something this day. So then, what are we supposed to do? If we're set free from bondage, if we're set free from slavery and those laws that bind us, what are we set free? How can we positively look at this command and keep it? So we keep these parameters in mind: creation, redemption. And we avoid the pitfalls of legalism and viewing this day as my day, doing what I want. We see it as a day to be kept with faith. How are we to positively look at this commandment and see it applied to our life? Well, as you look at the Lord's Day, question and answer 103, which defines for us the fourth commandment. First, gospel ministry and education is to be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, and to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. What is our first priority on the Lord's day. It's to be with the Lord's people, to be fed with the heavenly manna, and to worship God with a festive, joyous heart. You heard right when I read answer to 103. Festive day of rest. Children, do you look at Sunday as a festive day of rest? Do you look at this day as a day of joy and gladness? Where I have the opportunity to worship with God's people, to sing songs of praise, that God speaks to us, that Christ feeds us with that heavenly manna. On this day, it's a special day because I get to go to church today. Because I get to hear the preaching of the Word, and I know that through preaching of the Word, Christ by His Spirit produces faith in my heart and strengthens that faith. That I get to approach the throne of grace with confidence, singing songs and praying together, celebrating what God has done for us and praising Him for the great gift of rest. So that we can say, Jesus has given rest to our weary souls. And He calls us to rest our weary bodies. And whenever God calls us to worship, we are glad so that we say in our heart, as the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord, that we enter the house of worship with joy and gladness and thanksgiving in my heart. So that when Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest, that we see our need for rest. And we answer the call to worship, but we also, as the last section of this first part says, bring Christian offerings for the poor. In our worship service, we show mercy. As Jesus says, I delight in mercy. In showing mercy, we support the work of Christian ministries and missionaries. We support the various things that our church supports, so that the Word of God continues to go forth, that the need, that the plight of sinful men who are still in bondage to their sin and slavery to the old way might see the light and be fed with the manna that is above. So we show mercy. And then finally, second part of the answer in 103, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways and let the Lord work in me through His Spirit. So I begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. The rest that we do today spills over to the rest of the week. The rest that we do on the Lord's Day, where we not only find refreshment for our bodies, but also are fed in our souls, builds us up so that we are strengthened to meet the challenges of this next week. We are reminded of what Christ has done for us. We are called to obedience. We pray for the Lord's strength by His Spirit to keep us from sin and temptation, so that we begin today and every day to partake of what is future and eternal. Hebrews 4, verse 9 says this, there remains a Sabbath rest for the Lord's people. But how can we enter into this rest? We enter into the rest of God by faith. We enter into this blessed rest by placing our trust in the Lord of the Sabbath, by believing His Word and praying that the Spirit would work within us, putting to death the sin that remains by the double-edged sword and causing the new man to come alive by the living Word. So the Lord's Day, this day, is a foretaste of the rest that is to come. What we do today is a brief picture, a Polaroid snapshot of what eternity is going to be. What is heaven going to be like? Heaven is going to be a place where there is no sin, no death. Heaven is going to be a place where we worship the Lord. We see His face. and we worship with God's people. What happens when we come together as a church every Lord's Day? We get a little bit clearer picture of who Jesus is. We get a little bit better understanding of what Christ has done. Now we see through a glass dimly. Then we'll see it clearly. But don't forget, this is a foretaste. Heaven is not wholly other. What we do in heaven will not be completely unconnected to what we do today. It's going to be the fulfillment, the marriage supper of the Lamb, without limitations and without end, absolutely. But what we do today, where we hear God's word, we're fed, we're strengthened, we worship, we pray, we encourage each other by our presence, that's what heaven is going to be. So we begin today our eternal rest. So how do we celebrate this day? We celebrate this day by looking forward to worship. We celebrate this day by giving of our tithes and offerings with grateful hearts to show our mercy, our love, our care for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for those who are still walking in bondage. To conclude, the word Sabbath means rest, quiet, calmness, ceasing from labor and toil. When we are receiving this command, we remember that God has set apart this day to remember our creation and our redemption. Sabbath rest is a foretaste of the celebration that is to come. If we fill this day with what we're called to do, then we won't have the time or the desire to do the things that we ought not. Because the Lord of the Sabbath has set us free. Has set us free to enjoy, to rest, and to worship on this day. So as you begin the Lord's Day, congregation of Christ, remember the gift that is yours. You don't have to work every day. You don't have to work for your salvation. It's done. It's accomplished. It's completed. Christ has done it. It is finished. And since you belong to Christ, he gives you the Sabbath day, he gives you the Lord's day as a gift to set aside your weary labor and to be refreshed in your soul. So praise God that he has known our weakness. He remembers our frailty and he gives us a foretaste of eternity with the Sabbath rest we enjoy today. To the praise of his glory. And for our good. Amen. Let's pray. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed gift of the Sabbath day rest, and that we on the Lord's Day can be filled with an appreciation for the gift that is ours and a hunger and a thirst for what we will enjoy in glory. We thank you for the rest that you have given to our weary souls through Jesus Christ. We pray that this day would be a day filled with joy and gladness, that our hearts would be thankful for the blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.